Let's pray for a moment. Father, take the word of God and take us, Lord, in a fresh way even today. It's amazing what you can do with hearts that are open to you. And we pray our hearts would be open, and we ask you to speak into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we were together, we've gone through Matthew 24. We spent two sessions in Matthew 24, and we're going to run into 25 today, just as a quick summary of a few things we have mentioned. But the gist of the matter in Matthew 24 was to be ready, was it not? It was to be ready, because we know that the Lord is going to return someday, but we also know that our lives could end any day, and it is important to be ready to meet God. God wants us to know Him, to meet Him, to experience Him, and to be with Him for eternity. In order for that to happen, there are things that need to happen on this side of heaven. And those things involve being ready to meet God. And we see that encouragement here as Jesus is sharing with them to be prepared and be ready. You see, because some people just assume. You know, a lot of people assume this. Oh, everybody's going to heaven. Is everybody going to heaven? No. Not according to the words of Jesus. Now, I'll take the words of Jesus over everybody else's. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I will take the words of Jesus. And Jesus makes it clear in the Bible, not everybody's going to heaven. Now, of course, when somebody dies, well, oh yeah, everybody says they're gone to heaven. Everything's perfect. Everything's fine. That's not always the case. As we see in the scriptures, otherwise Jesus wouldn't be cautioning people to be ready. So we saw in the first story, which we glanced at the last time we were together, Jesus used this little illustration about a servant, somebody who, I remember I said last week, they're kind of like a shovel leaner. When everybody's looking, they're working hard. But when the boss is not looking, they're leaning on their shovel. And what he gives as the picture here is that it's an evil servant. It's not somebody who's a true servant. So Jesus is trying to point out to people, some people think they're ready, but they're not. Some people think, well, you know, I've got a little religion. I believe in God. You know, I try my best. And they think, you know, I think I'm going to be okay. But Jesus wants them to understand, I want you to be really sure that you're ready. Really sure. Now, I want to ask you that question. I want you to leave it for yourself and think in your own mind. Are you really sure that you're ready? If your number was up today, would you be able to say, I'm ready, and I know I'm ready? Now, there's such thing as false assurance. There's such thing as thinking that you're ready when you're not. It's like lots of people think they're ready for anything, and then, of course, they haven't prepared. They haven't got ready. And so when they hit the reality of a situation, they're not ready at all. You know, you've run into people with that kind of false confidence. It's not a good idea. So let's find out what it takes to be ready so that we can be sure. If Jesus has made a way for us to be sure and be ready, I want to know what it is for me, and I want to be ready to meet the Lord. I want to be ready for the judgment day. I want to be ready to face God. And in this circumstance, Jesus is saying, this person who thinks that they are a servant of God, and yet, what are they? He uses this as an example. Somebody who is evil and who begins to beat his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunkards. It says the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware of. He'll cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Jesus is talking about the end, and he's using this as an example, saying, listen, if a guy who says, a boss says, here's what I want you to do, and the guy does it exact opposite, and he's cruel and unkind and wicked and evil, they're not ready. That's what Jesus wants to know. Not ready. If you live this way, you're not ready. So somebody can say, I believe in God, but if their life is a hypocrisy and cruelty, they're not ready. So sometimes people will say, well, you know, they accepted the Lord when they were 10 years old or 15 years old. They're all right. They're not ready if their life is a life of wickedness. Because when God comes in, your life changes. When the Spirit of God comes in, it changes your life. Now, that's not saying that you work to be saved, but then if you are saved, you will work and you will do good works. So in Matthew 25, 1, Jesus gives an illustration, and he says this: at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Now, this customs that we read about here, not typical for a wedding today, right? But they were for then. And what they would do is that they would have 10 unmarried girls, because generally in those days, if you were unmarried, you were a virgin. Now, I can't say that much about that our culture today. It's not very common. But that's the way it was. And so really it's saying 10 unmarried girls were supposed to be keeping watch with the bride for the bridegroom to come. In this case, the bridegroom would come. It was kind of like a little bit exciting, like a trick or something, where the bridegroom would come, and he would come at he could pop in any time during this particular day. And it might be at 11 o'clock, might be at 10, might be at 12 o'clock, might be at 3 o'clock in the morning. They didn't know. But they were supposed to be ready. Their job was to light the way. The virgin's job, the unmarried girl's job, was to make sure that each of them had ready to light the way. And it was a task that was entrusted to them. But it says five of them took oil for their lamps, and five of them didn't bother to take the oil. So what was going on? They weren't ready. They didn't get ready. They didn't think there was any need to get ready. They were careless. They were not diligent. They were not careful to do things the right way. They didn't think it mattered. Now, it mattered. It mattered to the bride. It mattered to the groom. It mattered to the wedding party. Of course it mattered. Wouldn't it matter if you got all your preparations for a wedding and suddenly, you know, a whole section of the wedding party decided not to bother with anything, and then suddenly the day is there, and, you know, for example, the person that was supposed to get the rings didn't bother, and the suit wasn't ready, and, you know, the minister went fishing instead, and, you know, would you be upset if you were planning the wedding? Wouldn't you say, what's happened? It's all fall apart, right? And in a sense, that's what was happening here. They weren't ready. And because they weren't ready, it had an effect. But where the effect was felt the most was upon them. And Jesus was using this story to speak about being prepared, how to get ready, to make sure that you're there at the right time. Now, remember, he's talking here about the coming of the Lord, and he's using this wedding as an example. So when we look at this, he tells us that five of them had oil, and five of them had none. Where are we? Here we are. Yeah. Five of them were foolish, five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. And the wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So they didn't have the oil lamp that you might have seen, you know, that I used a few times when the power goes out. They didn't have those kind. It was more of a cup with a stick with a cup on it, and they would put oil into that cup, and then they had a kind of a rag soaked so that it would, like a wick coming off of that. So what the foolish ones did is when the bridegroom showed up and they're supposed to light their lamps, they lit their rag, their wick, but it didn't have any oil. You know how long that's going to last? Not very long. But the other ones, they had the oil to pour into the cup so that when the wick would draw the oil up, they had lots of fire. They had all that was needed, and that was fine. They were okay. But the five who didn't have what was needed, they got left out. Now you might say, it doesn't seem fair that the five ones didn't lend some oil to help the other ones along. But if they had, they wouldn't have had enough. And everybody's lamps would have been out, and they would have been sitting in the dark. Because what time was it when this happened? Midnight, right? So they couldn't do that. It would all, there wouldn't be enough to last for as long as it needed to last.
And they couldn't share the other one either, like two go one light, that wasn't allowed?
No. Their job was to light the way, and they didn't fulfill their job. So he said, no, you got to go get some more oil. So they run to get some more oil, and you know Jesus is using this for a more important story. Remember that, okay? What he's illustrating here is that you need to be prepared, and you need to have what's needed to be able to be part of the wedding feast. And he's talking here about the Lord coming and us going to be with him. Are you prepared for whatever you need for the Lord to be with you? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Well, here's what the scriptures teach us here. They needed to have that oil, and they didn't have it. You need something to be ready to meet God. Do you have it? What do you need? You need what God has to offer. And so, the question that I'm going to ask you today is, what does it take to be saved? What does it take to be ready? And in Acts chapter 16, verse 29, we have a man who was a jailer who had put Paul and Silas in jail, and he'd heard them preaching before, and he was suddenly realized that he needed to be saved. He knew he needed to be rescued. And so he asks a simple question. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he wasn't talking about being saved from a flood or a fire. He was talking about being saved to go to heaven. And the question that the answer that was given was this: believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. That's in Acts chapter 16. So we find that the answer about being prepared is given in the scriptures. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Are you one of the many? Or are you one of the few? Someone asked him in Luke 13:23, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you are from.'" And so we can see there that God is serious about this, extremely serious, that people need to be prepared. What do I need to do to be saved? I need to put my trust, believe in Jesus Christ. I need to be willing to trust in him. He died for our sins. The Bible says that's of first importance. And if he has not paid for your sins, when you hit the other side, if your sins aren't paid for, Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Where I go, you cannot come." Can't get in. Why? Because we see here that there's a narrow door. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved." He didn't say, if you come in the door of the Kinsman Hall, you'll be saved. He didn't say, if you go in the door of the Catholic Church, you'll be saved, or the Baptist or the Protestant Church. He said, Jesus said, "I am the door. If you enter in by Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, you will be saved. You will be ready." That's how we get ready. Are you ready? Have you said, "Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. Lord, I need you to forgive me for my sins"? You know, when we think about sin, most of the time we think about other people's sins. The bad sinners. The bad people out there. Look in the mirror. You're bad enough. You're bad enough yourself. You know, we're so quick to look elsewhere. Get yourself cleaned up first. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own way. Every one of us needs a Savior. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You need Jesus as much as you need Jesus. Every single one of us need this Savior. Every single one of us need to be ready, need to be prepared. So Jesus is giving these illustrations to encourage us to take seriously what he has to say about meeting God. But you can be ready. That's the good news. You can be ready. Five of them were prepared. They had the oil. And the oil really is almost, in the Old Testament, you often see the oil is a picture of God's blessing, a picture of God giving you something, a picture of the Holy Spirit. And you see that even in the New Testament. And so, in a sense, what God says, if you want to be ready, then you need me. In other words, I need God, I need Jesus ahead of time, so that when Jesus comes for me, I already have the base covered. I already have him. I have him. I'm ready. And what that does is it changes your life and it changes your conduct. You're not the hypocrite now, because you have Jesus in you and you're willing to be open and honest, confess your sin, willing to stand with the Lord, willing to trust God, willing to say, Lord, you're my Lord and you're my Savior, you're my life changer. I wonder today, can you say that you're ready? Oh, those foolish virgins thought, it's not that important. Little religion's okay. I believe in God. I'll be all right. Foolish virgins, they weren't prepared. They thought they could get away with it. They figured they didn't have to go and get that oil. Somehow they'd be all right. They figured that, the other ones will get me in. Listen, you can't get in on somebody else's salvation. Say if somebody else has trusted the Lord and they know the Lord and they've accepted him in their heart, and maybe it's a wife. And the husband says, my wife's religious enough for me. She'll get me there. Won't happen that way. Can't ride in on somebody else's coattails. You can't borrow somebody else's faith. You have to have your own faith. You have to put your own trust in Jesus Christ. You have to make that step yourself. But, we have a Savior whose arms are open wide. And, you know, Jesus wasn't saying these stories to scare people. He was saying these stories to encourage people. Get ready now. Hey, you can go and get the oil now. You can come to Jesus now. You can accept him into your heart now. And if you do, he will come in and you will be ready. That's God's offer. That's God's grace and God's mercy. He's full of love for us. The Bible says God doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want anybody to be lost, but he wants us to be saved. But how can that happen? He encourages you. You got to be ready. Be ready. So praise the Lord that some were. But the sad reality was is that these ones that weren't ready, it says they thought, we got time. And so then later they go to try and get the oil somewhere else. But when they came back, the door shut. And the custom was once all the guests were in and the door was shut, can't get in now. Now, there's always latecomers to everything, isn't there? There's always people that are the last one to come to anything. Are you laughing there, Nora? There is. There's always somebody that's always late. Isn't that true? You know? And, you know, the old saying, better late than never, right? But, you know, I remember one time I was heading for the PEI ferry. And I knew what time it was supposed to get there. And I knew what time it was supposed to be there. And yet, you know, a little dilly, little dally, and all of a sudden, I had to sadly say that I had that big old Parisienne that time and it was flying down the road. I was hooting her. I'm going to make it. We're close. We're close. We're really close. You get down there and I all the cars were gone and the guy who was at the, we're directing the traffic, he waved me through, keep going, keep going. So I said, we're going to make it. The ferry's still there. And I'm booting her towards that ferry, going, going. And all of a sudden, the guy jumps out. Stop, 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 stop. The ferry was 10 feet away from the shore. From the dock, it was moved. 10 feet. That's all. That's all. You know, I probably was going fast enough. I might have been able to jump it. I didn't get on that ferry, did I? No, I had to stop. You know, the other guy shouldn't have waved me on, but he was getting a little excited. He thought, maybe I'll get you in there. But you know what? When that ferry left the dock, the captain of the boat didn't say, oh, look at that poor fellow back there. Let's stop the boat. Let's back up and let him on. They don't do that, do they? What's that? Yeah, that's right. Poor fellow, but he kept going. He left the dock, and I was left behind because I wasn't prepared. I was foolish. I didn't leave on time. Can I tell you, so you can be late for some things, and that's okay, but you can't be late for this. How then do I get ready? You don't have to wait till the last minute. Some people think, well, you know, I'd love to have Jesus as my Savior, but I want to keep on sinning. So what I'm going to do, I'll keep on sinning. And I've actually had people tell me this. I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do. And then just before I die, I'll say, Lord, you can save me now. Fools. How foolish that would be. Be ready now. My encouragement for you today is to say yes to the Lord Jesus today. Now is always the accepted time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Be ready. Now there's a couple more parables about this. We're not going to look at them today. So you're going to get a dose of being get to be prepared even next Sunday as well, because we're working our way through the Bible and I'm not jumping over verses. Be prepared. Be ready. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for its truth. We thank you, Lord, that you're inviting us, Lord, into an incredible relationship with you in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you're not a hard, cruel God, but you have set parameters. And Lord, we know that if we won't get ready today, we won't be ready tomorrow, because we have decided that we're not going to. But Lord, we pray that each one of us will make the right decision in our lives, that we'll be careful and not careless like these ones who had no oil. But Lord, that we'll be ready to say, yes, Lord, today I receive you as my Savior. Today, Lord, I'm going through the narrow door. Today I'm getting off the Broadway that leads to destruction. And I'm coming in, Lord, into the salvation that you have for me. Lord, I pray that each of us in this room will be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.